Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is DC Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the DC Universe.
Greetings, fans of the DC Universe. I have returned, but this week we are without the muscly arms of Johnny Laquasto and the vocal fry and dimples of Roxy Stryer. But joining me in their stead are, you can find her at Scruffy Rebel, Victoria Schmidt, cosplayer and nerdist fashionista. Nerdy.
I think that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, I like to wear clothes.
A fitness enthusiast.
Yes. Nerdy fitness enthusiast.
Which sounds really enticing to me. Victoria Schmidt is here with us. We're so excited about that, and I love
so
your
excited.
Shirt. Whose shirt I don't love, but I needed to fill out the table and balance it out. Some other guy who was just lying around, couldn't get him out of the room.
We had so much fun on the Marvel show that I couldn't leave the desk.
Oh boy.
I moved over here.
Is this a war between shows?
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're not giving up your
spot. I'm just kidding. The
no.
Matt Key is here with us at the Matt Key. Matt Key, here you are. Nice to see you, buddy.
I thought you were going to take your headphones off and leave. Matt Key's here.
This is bull. I'm out of here.
This is baloney.
No, it's so good to be back. Mike Kalinowski did such a great job. I know you guys were huge fans of him, and he'll be back on the show. I was away. I was out of town. I was in New York, and I was doing something for my FX show the week before. So I've been gone, but we're back. And let's jump into the DC news. Something happened after the last week's show that we didn't get to talk about. And we got our Aquaman reveal, ladies and gentlemen.
That is super exciting.
Wow.
That's really cool.
I mean,
he looks so awesome.
Yeah. So
I mean, when they announced Momoa was doing it, you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to see it. And then they do this and you're like, holy shit. Yes.
We have often said on this show, and I said this, that the single piece of casting I was most excited about was this guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him on Game of Thrones. I was very disappointed in the Conan, miserable thing that was. And I'm like, this guy needs to be utilized again. And yes, a lot of people's biggest complaint about this that I've heard is that it looks like Khal Drogo for the ocean. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. It really
so
is.
Okay, so
well,
what?
That's what was interesting, because when my fiancé, Genio, showed it to me, I actually stared at it for a while, and I was like, all right, Aquaman is really cool. I got to remember this. And he's a badass. I got to remember this and look at this in that light and not like, where's the orange and the green, you know? And where's the seahorse? But like,
are you disappointed? Because you're a big cosplayer. So from a fashion point of view, I'm always going to be looking to you.
I love it because they're clearly trying to go as outside the box as they can.
Yeah.
And I actually love it from not a historical aspect, but the fact that it seems more realistic and more natural, that you are going to have a lot of tribes who worship water and water gods and stuff like that, and they would be tattooed like that.
He has tattoos himself. In fact, he has a tattoo on his left arm that kind of simulates the scales.
It's a great way to reinterpret his entire outfit to not be an actual suit, but to be his tattoo markings of...
Are you guys familiar with the Aquaman of the 90s when he had the kind of the hook hand and the long hair?
Mm-hmm.
He went biker for a while there, so I mean,
was it Ocean Master or was it Black Manta? I can't remember.
You know? I mean, I remember when he chopped off his hand in the Justice League version. He actually chopped off his own hand to save his children.
And I was like,
really badass. He removed his own hand, which is great. Like DC characters, what we'll talk about later, have a long history of removing their own limbs and other appendages and things like that.
Yeah, but I mean, how can you look at Khal Drogo and not be like, this is going to be amazing?
it's just fantastic. I guess now what's also come out is people are suspecting that he won't have a huge part in Batman v Superman, but he'll just be in a couple of key scenes, and this will of course set the stages for Justice League.
I think he'll be in the stuff that's the formation of the Justice League. I, It'll mm-hmm. be more like you'll probably see him in action in some way. There will probably be like some like. And earlier in the news today, down on the docks, we saw Arthur Curry turn into Aquaman.
He's floating on by. Yeah, in the water.
And you'll hear a I think you'll probably get. And I'm being sincere. Like I think you'll get a news story that like that's always like a great like expository mm-hmm. way to introduce. Yeah. Here's this weird character you've never seen. Because we know Superman. We know Batman. We're familiar enough with Green Lantern. But Aquaman? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Those of us who are fans know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aquaman. But, like, the general movie public is going to be like, all right, who is this guy? So they'll do an expository scene.
Are there people who don't know who Aquaman is? Because I feel like Aquaman has been made fun of for so long.
But that's the thing.
Like
they,
Batman
they
and Superman,
know
like a common culture.
He's so well known, and I'm so glad that you said this, because this leads us to our next topic, which is why Aquaman is so well maligned. And check out this picture, which I love. Which, you know, when Aquaman was introduced, there's a great article about why Aquaman is so badass and why he's so misinterpreted. If you go to io9.com, you know, they talk about how basically Aquaman started off as this sort of like professor who could talk to fish, and then they kind of gave him some more powers, and then they made it so he could breathe underwater, and then he gave him some super strength. But most people, including myself, became familiar with this guy from the Super Friends cartoons, right?
Seahorse.
And even then, right, he's riding around on seahorses, he's talking to fish, and it's just like, all right, you've got Green Lantern who can make constructs, you've got Wonder Woman in an invisible plane, you've got Batman who's just Batman, you've got Superman, and then it's like, God, Aquaman.
The quintessential Aquaman for me is the Family Guy episode of him in the water and the girl getting molested on the beach.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I threw a starfish at you. Oh, look what I did now. And I'm like, that's what Aquaman is these days. Like, that's as low as he can possibly get.
Well, I think, you know, they really renewed him with the new 52.
Oh my God, Geoff Johns' run on that was fantastic. Like, they even addressed it in the first issue. Like, how, like, as you said, maligned he is. Like, in the whole first issue, they're like, hey, you're Aquaman. Don't you just talk to fish? And he's just like, but like they did it in like this wonderfully like gritty, grounded, realistic way. Like it wasn't a joke comic book, you know. Like it was
well. And Throne of Atlantis, which was just released as an animated film, but it's even better if you go back and get the graphic novels, get the actual story. I mean, it's a really great Aquaman story, and I think a lot of this came from on above. I think New 52, you know, just in general, it came down with the mandate of like, look, these characters are all going to be on the big screen, so we need to redefine them. Scrub them up, and this is going to be our source material, and we're going to be launching from here. And, you know, this is just another...
I think Warner Brothers probably had, like, a little bit of a bigger hand in New 52. Like, that's kind of the feeling that I got.
Yes.
So...
Yeah, well, and also the whole idea that DC Comics is moving out here to Burbank... Where Warner Brothers is, so they're keeping the whole house under one roof. Even though the president of DC said, oh no, it's not related to the films. I'm like, yeah, sure, okay.
Sure it's not.
Yeah, exactly. I think it probably is. Anyway, I'm really excited about this. Speaking of these movies, the go-to composer, for the DC Universe, Hans Zimmer has stated that ideally he will have a separate theme for Wonder Woman and Aquaman as well as Superman, the theme that he's already established. Of course, he'll be leaving the Batman duties to Junkie XL, as previously stated, because he doesn't want to sort of disrespect the work he did with the Christopher Nolan movies and have to reinterpret Batman.
Which is very nice.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
I agree with that.
And to be honest, I love his themes for Batman. Not as much as I love the Danny Elfman score.
There will only ever be one in Batman.
That is my Danny Elfman. I mean, that music gets me so giddy. When I still can drive and turn on that score, man. It is just one of the best things ever.
Those first two movies.
Unbelievable.
The last two.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who looks like at that group of the four and be like, let me go straight for Aquaman? he just looks more interesting in that whole group.
No, he looks very, very interesting. I don't agree. Actually, I mean, I might go for Gale just because, you know, it's my predilections. But and also, thank you to Donovan Hunter at Movie Buff for this picture. I don't know if you made this picture or who made this picture.
It's
Purdy. Whoever made it, it is Purdy. So that's what we got so far, people. Those are official releases. Looks pretty cool.
Okay, so going back to the Unite the Seven, is that Unite the Seven Seas or Unite the Seven Members? What do you think?
Well, you know,
could be double?
Sailing
double
the Seven Seas is an expression But in actuality,
there aren't seven seas.
There's a lot more than seven seas.
But history lesson.
Yes, exactly.
It is a known expression, though. Unite the seven seas makes sense.
I think that's where it is a great play on words. But I think for Aquaman to say unite the seven seas, I think Aquaman should have more knowledge about the seas and the oceans by default than anybody there. I mean, as good a student as Bruce Wayne might be, I think Aquaman should know about the bodies of water.
A little bit. Well, honestly, he may not even see them as seas. Like, it's all one giant water mask
mine.
For him.
This is all mine.
Is that right? He just sees them as, like, you know.
So for him, it's like, it's unite the what? No, it's one. What are you talking about?
It's just one. It's Earth.
No, back to Hans Zimmer. He did the Pirates music.
Did he do the Pirates music? I'm not sure.
I'm sure if he did. Did he not?
Did.
I just wanted to be reminded of, like, what other thing Zimmer had done, so I can get an idea of what.
Someone just said that Wonder Woman looks like a Kardashian.
She does. She straight up does.
Well, we haven't seen a rear view of Wonder Woman yet to really confirm that.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only
way
she
could
really
be that little Kardashian.
Hey, Jean-Torel,
what up?
Do you have any Hans Zimmer music that you could just randomly throw up for us?
Oh yeah, I was gonna say he's done Gladiator. He did.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good one.
Man of Steel, obviously.
Great. Yeah.
He did Lion King. He's done
Interstellar.
He also did the Pirates, I believe.
See,
he did do the Pirates.
Did he do Pirates?
Yep.
Good confirmation on Pirates. So for me,
I was wrong then.
All the theme music will just
be getting other people saying
for Aquaman.
Yeah. I guess, like, it makes sense.
Because that music, that composition was fantastic. There are a few soundtracks or compositions where I'll only want to listen to them nonstop. I remember listening to the Pirates, the original Pirates, like, CD. Back when people bought CDs.
You know,
until it almost broke because the score was so good. So I have so many high hopes
for how he'll treat them. And historically, DC has such iconic scores. Like, we talked about the Batman one. The Superman score, the John Williams, is one of the best ever.
Yes.
Now, I'm not jumping on your Marvel here, but, like, what do you think about that? Compared to how Marvel is kind of, like, switch composers, their themes are not as iconic in the movies.
There is something to be said for that. That they are missing that. It would be nice to have, like, to establish an Iron Man. Here's Iron Man's theme, and there's kind of a tech edge to
it. Was like AC/DC for a while.
I associate actual rock songs with Marvel, which is cool. Like,
sure.
Don't get me wrong, it's actually fun to work out to certain songs and be like, I'm Iron Man.
But there's something special.
I think Spider-Man was the only one that really had a memorable.
Yeah.
Danny Elfman.
Composition.
Our boy who did Dark Knight, Batman, who also now, I guess, is doing some Avengers stuff too.
He is doing additional music for the Avengers, which we talked about on the show.
Why,
he's going to do Spider-Man. It's Spider-Man. They're bringing Spider-Man
in. Why?
So wacky. You think Spider-Man's going to show up in the Justice League, too? He's just going to keep swinging into every movie? Webs and thrips going across.
Well, we all know that Spider-Man's a swinger, so.
Oh! Boom! And that's why you have Matt Key on your show.
Because I made one joke.
You know, a lot of people, a lot of you dedicated viewers have given us a fair amount of guff about how sometimes we'll report on something as fact until it's really fact. And, like, you know, look, I'll admit, we're stretching here, okay? We got till 2016. We have to make some stuff up sometimes. However, the much-believed Amanda Waller, as rumored to be played, has been confirmed on the red carpet. Miss Viola Davis was asked point-blank by a reporter who said, look, I'm a fanboy. You got to tell me. You going to Toronto? You doing the shoot? And she looks over.
That's the best picture.
Yeah. I mean, and she looks over and, like, I don't know who she was with, if it was a manager, agent, or if it was, like, her husband. And he says, like, yes, yes. And she's like, yes. I mean, it was great.
Really?
Yeah,
I just heard the story. I didn't see the interview.
It was
she confirmed it on air. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Can
go
I talk
check
about
out the
it?
Clip.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah. It's
awesome.
Super cool, spontaneous confirmation.
Sweet.
I guess, like, everybody was having a big party on the red carpet there. Because there's
clearly.
Also some, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that was coming out on the red carpet. Oh, you know what? Now that I think about it, everybody was just wasted. Right.
Yeah.
They're probably just, everybody was
that's
wasted.
That's like the best place to ask.
Best time
like,
to,
she doesn't know what she said. She just says, mm-hmm.
That's the best place to bombard people with questions.
I'm excited to see her as the Wall.
She's gonna be great as the Wall. It's the great balance, you know. She's not as like, she doesn't quite have the girth as she's appeared like in, you know, animated incarnations and in the comics, you know.
I would kind of really enjoy seeing the girth.
I would.
Sure.
But I get it.
She's
like,
also
she's
not
such
a
good
waif
actress.
Like she is on Arrow.
Very true.
That bothers
true.
Me.
Arrow, she's straight hot.
But
well,
it, but
and
it bothers me
too,
that
the 52
it bothers me. You know, the character is, you know, a trademark is that she's a bigger woman, it's one thing if you pick like a slightly less big woman, but like an era when they went like complete.
She's
like,
the one on the right, by the way. If anyone's out, yeah, not sure.
But like they went straight to Hollywood skinny in era, and I was like, come on, like that's a little insulting. As if like you can't be an awesome big woman.
Yeah, it's hard to
the
be.
The woman to me was like, what's going on with like, why you're did talking, you have to pick a skinny actress?
You're talking
for that?
About CW though.
I know.
I don't think that's any show too. Anywhere like CW
you're not allowed to
is
be big
just,
on CW.
I mean, like they. I think it's required that every CW show have like a nightclub scene in every show.
Nobody eats on the CW.
No.
Okay.
So at least with
nobody's
her,
had a meal if you've been on a CW show
and
in several
like,
years.
And she's of course like by no means even a large woman. She's like an average. An average curvy woman, which is awesome. Like, you know what? That's not Hollywood skinny, so I'll take it.
She's
you know?
A two-time Oscar nominee. She has gravitas.
And she's gorgeous.
She has power. The cast for Suicide Squad is looking amazing. I wasn't here when we talked about Joel Kinnaman. What do you guys think about the Joel Kinnaman casting? He was the guy who was in the new RoboCop.
I didn't see it. I'm not
okay. I couldn't do it. I couldn't.
You know, the original RoboCop is one of my absolute all-time favorite films of all time. It's not bad. The remake is actually fine. It's a good movie. It just doesn't, you know, it's...
I heard that like it was missing the same tone, like that sort of like sarcastic political
the
kind
first
of
one is a special film.
It
traumatized me, and I wanted
film.
To keep that traumatic memory, you know?
This was a great... No, I mean, it's amazing.
Like, dirty.
Anyway, I think that Kinnaman, you know, losing Tom Hardy, it's not like you didn't quite replace it with the same level of actor, but overall, the cast for this movie is ridiculous.
It's insane.
Margot Robbie has announced that she's signed on for at least 3 films, that she's committed to be playing Harley Quinn for 10 years.
That picture.
That face can age 10 years, 20 years.
Yeah, she's going to be a great Harley.
Is this girl stunning or what?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm all like, oh, the vapors.
Oh, yeah, the vapors. That's good. I'm glad it's not just me.
She's gorgeous. I look at that and I think, you know, Paul Dini, you know, I think, you know,
God,
Bruce Timm, like classic Harley, and it makes me glad because.
So now, the fact that she signed on for multiple films, do you think that that's just going to be Suicide Squad sequels, or do you think Harley Quinn's going to be showing up in other places?
Well, the rumors that they've said is that the Suicide Squad, like, they're starting. Like they're doing, hey, look, the Justice League is going to start. Here it is in its nascent form. Mm-hmm. Then they're going straight to Suicide Squad as the next film because that's what they're going to use to introduce all the villains to all the other films with the giant breakout. So I think we'll probably get her in other, like, yes, we'll have a Suicide Squad sequel probably.
Yeah.
But we'll probably get her in like one or two other movies.
I agree. I think the Suicide Squad should be a place where you have different teams every film, you know.
That like,
I don't
think, great. Oh my god!
You know, it's just a breeding ground for great new talent, kind of like what the Avengers could eventually become in the Marvel universe.
They are heading that way with
yeah.
We know they'll do it. I just don't know if.
Yeah,
it would happen with DC.
Well, you know, it really all depends on how big this first Suicide Squad movie is. Like, you know, everything is so, you know, just. You know, it's all speculation at this point with DC. We haven't seen these films, so we don't really know the tone. Like, you know, you can speculate about a Guardians 2 because you've seen the first one. You know where it's going. Marvel's established a tone. We know only Man of Steel, and, like, we've never seen a film
and
led by villains.
There's so many, like, mixed reviews on Man of Steel amongst the fans too, you know. So like, it's hard to base everything on that.
Somebody's saying that Suicide Squad is after BVS. I think what Matthew was referring to is the Nation form in Dawn of Justice, when you're going to see the beginnings of the Justice League. You will see Wonder Woman.
Exactly.
You will see the Aquatic Man, and then we'll see the Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
and then
in fact,
we'll
I think there's like a script leak or like a plot synopsis leak or something like that that said that like at the very end of the film you see Batman putting the Justice League together, and that's when these other characters come in the most.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I was saying earlier, like, you'll get introduced to them and like throughout the course of the film you'll see a Crimson Crusader flash by and do something, and you might like get one or two scenes with them, but nothing substantial until the very end.
The Easter egg potential of the Suicide Squad
movie—it's
so great. You're right. You're imagining there is going to be some kind of breakout. There is going to be involved in the prison. You know, one thing you got to say about the actors who are in these films is they're always put under a really tight lock and key. They can't talk. They're not allowed to speak about what they can do. Everybody,
no spoilers.
Right, no spoilers. One person who does not subscribe to that is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Mm-hmm. This guy can't shut up. If it was up to him, it's like, he's like, oh, it's called Black Adam and some other guys, is the name of the DC universe. You know, it's like the Justice League. Yeah, it's Black Adam and Friends. Shazam, it's Shazam, semicolon, Black The Adam. Birth of the Black Adam. I mean, he's just, I mean, look, but I will say...
Because what are they going to do, replace him? So he'll just do what he wants.
I mean, also the idea that the film is supposed to not come out till 2019.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, look at him. He looks... you would think that that was animated after he was already cast in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good to go, like, permanently.
He is a cartoon character.
He is.
He also came out...
Like, he seems like he's the nicest man. Like, if you see, like, follow him on social media or whatever, he seems like he's genuinely just a nice guy. Like,
I gotta
which makes
say,
it even more
didn't
fun.
Did he do that Tooth Fairy movie?
He sure did.
He did.
Yeah.
He sure did.
Well, that's how you know him. That's how you know him.
Just so you know what we're talking about, he, on the same red carpet for the Academy Awards, he said that, hey, the script's coming along good, and you might see a Shazam movie sooner than 2019, which is so...
Oh.
Bat balls crazy. I mean, like, who would say something like that? How would he just let something that leak? Was he drugged? Was he also drunk? Like, what does that even mean? Do you guys believe that? Like, what? Why would he just say that? Like, they announced this whole slate, and it does seem weird that you would not see Black Adam for the first time for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this idea, I mean, what do you guys, think there's validity to that? Could it come sooner?
I could easily see that he's just too excited to keep his mouth shut, like, completely, and can't help but do little leaks of, like, oh my god, I'm gonna maybe be, like, a 1 second shot in an earlier movie.
And the other thing, I think, is that they've said that Black Adam, or Shazam, is not going to be, necessarily related to the greater continuity of the DC movies. So,
right, well,
it's like, they could do a Black Adam film next year and not wreck any sort of continuity that they're trying to set up, at least by what I've heard.
Right, but they've recently said, they've pretty much confirmed that he is in the same world.
Oh, not in the same continuity. Like, his story's not necessarily affecting the Justice League story.
Oh, no, they could go out of continuity, just like Wonder Woman's films are going to take place before. They could certainly go out of continuity, but it is in the same world, and, you know, Rock wants to see Black Adam going up against every single person, as they said. And they still have not cast a Shazam, which is a really tough role because, yeah, you need this person that is physically imposing, but they are possessed with the spirit of
a kid.
Of a kid.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, who could you think of? Like, that's a tough thing to play.
And I love how it's been done in the cartoons. Like, it's really been played as he's a kid.
Oh, man, in Teen Titans? It was so fun in Teen Titans.
That's what allows you to sort of buy that even though this guy can go toe-to-toe with Superman, he's not Superman's equal because he just doesn't have the experience and the, you know, the brain power necessarily.
Exactly.
Just a life experience. It's very much like Greatest American Hero, you know, or like the guy has the suit that can do everything, but he doesn't know how to use it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shows, by the way.
Yeah.
And I hear that it's coming back.
I'm walking on it.
Come on, guys. Yeah.
Never thought I could feel so free.
So this is pretty cool. Jackson Gordon of Philadelphia. I'm like, oh, yeah. He built a functional Batman suit.
Oh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, did you guys actually see this? This is
look at that.
Are there any more pictures, or was that it?
I think there were three or four.
There was a couple pictures, but I wanted to ask you, as a cosplayer, now, yes, aesthetically, this may not be the greatest bat suit one has ever seen, but it's the thing about this is that it's functional. Like, he built, like... Apparently he could withstand like a beating with bats and like people were kicking him and he was like,
"Where's
like,
the video the thing,
like,
of that?"
Yes, I want to see like the engineer.
I
want to
see that too.
Oh,
yeah,
man. But that's what I love in where I don't even know if this counts as cosplay per se, where it's just fun. It's like being a fan and figuring out if things are real. And I mean, there is that vein of cosplay where some of us like to take a costume and try to make a realistic version of it. Like, I've seen plenty of people take things from, like, Robotech and stuff and try to make them look like a real aviation suit. I've discussed, like, doing that.
Exactly. And this guy is an engineer student.
Yeah, and so I think it's great when people approach these costumes and be like, what would really look
like
if it was functional? And we've seen ideas of that in a... you know, blown out movie form, obviously, with Nolan's Batman. I'm like, okay, that's more realistic than Keaton, obviously.
Well, and that's what is so great about the Nolan Batman
But this actually
films.
Looks like Batman.
Yes.
Like, to me, this looks more like Batman than I would... like, classic Batman and a nice blending of cartoon...
It looks like he could turn his head. It looks like he could move.
I just love it. I love it so much.
In fact,
until we see him on like the evening news, fighting crime.
In the interview, he like talked about how he had like full head mobility and everything. Like that was one of the things that he was very focused on. And I think he did a Kickstarter for it, and it was only like $1,700.
Yeah, I think he made like $1,200 in 30 days,
and economical.
Yeah,
functional and economical.
Yeah, so you don't need to be a billionaire to make a suit.
Ahmed Faraz says Tom Hardy for Shazam.
Oh, man. I mean, he could play the adult. I don't know. Could he play the childlike
personality? No, he could play the adult. Oh, he can play any personality. Tom Hardy is as good as an actor as on the planet Earth right now, as far as I'm concerned. That's why it was so bummed that Tom Hardy left the Suicide Squad. Like, I believe Tom Hardy elevates all material. I think he's so great.
He does. He's
and if you
fantastic.
Saw him in Warrior, the guy's got no neck. I mean, he's as jacked can be. Mm-hmm. Like, he could be Shazam. Absolutely. That would be interesting. Wow. I love that concept. You know, there's a lot of speculation. Like, is Tom Hardy going to pop up in a Marvel film? Is he going to go somewhere else in the DC universe? You know, was this not the right role for him? I don't know.
Do we know what that Batman is?
Cyborg Unicorn says no thanks on the Tom Hardy.
Aww.
Oh, he's like, keep it. Really? You got a problem with
Chinese
Tom Hardy?
Gambit.
What can the dude not do? Now,
yeah, I don't like. He could. He's like very tough and like very deep. I don't see him playing like a little kid. I think he's a great actor.
Yeah, but I mean, just embodying that spirit. I mean, he's Mad Max. He's. I don't know. I don't think there's anything the dude couldn't do.
I think you just have a giant man crush on him, and that's okay.
I do.
Okay.
That's happening. Definitely. That's fine. Now, I'm not a gamer. I don't know. Are you a gamer?
I am not a gamer. Not because I don't want to be. I'm just really, really, really bad.
I'm terrible.
I'm that person who gets like stuck in a dungeon corner. Like 8 times because I just can't figure out.
I will say this,
I'm not
though.
A gamer, but I do avidly play games.
I
just love watching
buy
video
game systems just to get superhero games. I have done that since like the NES, you know, even before they were good. And now, you know, I've played all these Arkham games, and now I'm gonna have to get either a new Xbox or PS.
You killed it?
Well, the PlayStation is getting me because of the Power Show.
That looks gorgeous.
So this is Arkham Knight. This is like the most hyped game, you know, like in history. Because like now, like Rockstar Games is returning to the franchise. This like, they had to take so long to make this game that somebody else made the prequel game. You know, they took so long to do this, and then there's a new trailer for Arkham Knight. It is pretty sick. Check out the trailer. Did you guys see the first trailer with the Batmobile?
Yeah. No, I've been following, yeah.
Yeah, that was the most, I mean, even with movie trailers, I thought that trailer, that first Arkham Knight trailer.
Is that the Batsuit for the new
Yeah, well, that's
game?
Probably one of them. That's
so
like a,
cool.
a mechanized Batsuit.
Well,
yeah.
So, wait, but the story is that, there's Batman, but then there's also an Arkham Knight, right? Like, the kind of the main bad guy is this mysterious figure named the Arkham Knight.
Oh, is that what that is?
I think so.
I just assumed that was a Batsuit.
DC friends, tell me if I'm wrong.
Someone tell me things.
So you're saying so people are saying PS4, Xbox One, PS4, but PS4 has got this Power Series, which is what a pain in the butt, man. If that's good, pilot is going to be. We could talk about Power Series because even though it's technically Marvel, it started as a.
Hey, someone said that's not the Batsuit.
It's not the Batsuit. It's not a Batsuit.
It says it's not the Batsuit.
That looks like a Batsuit to me.
It looks like a bat suit, but I think that the Arkham, see that it's a knight, right?
Cyborg Unicorn
said. And the Dark Knight.
Yeah, Cyborg Unicorn is saying that's another character, that's the Arkham Knight.
Oh, wow.
I think so. That's what I've heard.
What do you think about the fact that this game is rated M?
That's awesome.
Like a Batman game is rated M.
That's awesome.
2015, that's crazy.
That's awesome.
I can't wait for that. Like you've played all the other Arkham games, right?
Yes.
Like, they're amazing.
They're so good.
With the exception of the last one. What was the last one? Like Origins or whatever?
Yeah, I didn't know. That one I didn't play so much.
Like,
but that's what I said. It wasn't Rockstar Games that made that one.
Like, is it Rockstar doing this one?
Yes! That's what I'm saying. Like, they actually, that Origins one, they gave to another company to make it because they were working so hard on this one. So they kind of skipped one. So I played Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. I didn't play the other one, but this one looks ridiculous. Rated M, can't believe it.
Arkham City was, like, responsible for, like, 8 months of my life. Like, I could not solve all the Riddler.
Oh, God, yeah. You
things.
Could go on
like,
forever
oh
with those
God,
things.
Oh, my God, it was so good. I loved it. And that made me go back and play Arkham Asylum because I finally understood everything that I didn't understand in the first
game.
That
was a lot easier. Yeah, Arkham Asylum was a good place to start. Yeah.
So I'm excited to see this
I'm gonna have to go get one.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes, Jatoro.
The thing that really sells this game for me is the first one to have the Batmobile. Where you like jump in and out of it at a moment's notice.
And you saw that, right? That trailer looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
How he just
it's like
leaps
Grand Theft Auto. You can like jump in the Batmobile.
Yes, which I've never been a fan of because I'm such a dork about like liking my superheroes. I'm like, I can't get behind a game that's all about robbing people.
No, like, I know. I'm
I have
saying,
more
Grand
problem
Theft Auto
with it.
Batman.
I played the first Grand Theft and I was like, oh, this is fun. I go around. And, I just kill everybody. Like,
they're so morally bereft. I know. I'm a huge dork.
Is it like stupid of me to? Okay, since everyone's saying it's a character called Arkham Knight, and it's not Batman. To like look at that and yeah. like get Azrael vibes.
Oh,
is that like
oh,
weird?
No, that's
no.
what I thought.
Or is that
too.
Intended? Is that
I don't know.
It definitely looks like Jean-Paul Valley.
You're
Definitely.
Telling me it's someone who's not Batman, but like dressed in an armored no, bat-looking suit. And
I don't think that they're doing that because that was no. almost too obvious. Like, yeah. I think that there's like clues throughout the game that lead you to who it is.
But it's not yeah. like silly of me to be like,
no, not at all. It's not too.
I think there'll be a big reveal if this is the Arkham Knight. I think that'll be like the mystery of the game. Is like we'll see
who
this
is the Arkham Knight.
That's really really cool. So who yeah. knows? You know.
Apparently, the story that I've understood is that you know the character of the executioner who's like. Sees himself as on Batman's side, yeah. but like he just takes justice a little too far.
Yes,
I think that's this character. Like he's like Batman, you failed to really save this
right.
city.
So this guy
I
takes
will save it.
So yeah. if it's rated M, if it's rated M, I'm assuming it's more for violence than for boobies. I would just imagine.
I would imagine that. Yeah,
maybe some boobies, but probably mostly very
Bat
extreme
boobies.
Gore. No,
bats with boobies.
Bat boobies would be legal.
Bat nipples.
Oh, God, we've seen that before. Oh, we've had enough bat nipples. Speaking
of bat nipples at the Warner Brothers tour.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah,
it's at the studio, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so there's a doghouse right
across the street. They don't let you stare at them long enough.
Do you think that this could be like the video game version of like the Red Hood, of like Jason Todd or something like that?
I was just thinking it could be a character like that. I think that's a great thing. Speaking of the Red Hood, did you see the last episode of Gotham?
I did. I watch all those shows.
Okay, so what did you think?
There wasn't a Flash this week.
What's that?
I was disappointed that there wasn't a Flash this week.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched Arrow yet, because I'll watch that with
my
fiance
tonight.
So
what did you think? What are your thoughts on Gotham? I know you just kind of binge-watched all of Gotham in like preparation for coming here, right?
In like the last 24 hours.
I'd like to hear what your thoughts on it, because like from week to week, I'm like going like some things I like, some things I don't. What do you think?
Well, I've been loving like Flash and Arrow so much, and you know, of course I was excited when I saw there was a Gotham show coming, but then like apprehensive at the same time, so I kept putting it off. Seen it because I was like,
right.
I'm either going to be disappointed or not.
Because it's like Batman
but
is what's
But the disappointment
you know,
percentage
cool.
is pretty high, so I just kept pushing it and pushing it off until it was on your list, and I was like, I gotta watch it now.
Yeah.
And so it was amazing to like binge on it all at once, and my eyes are like gonna bleed or something. But oh my God, that last episode.
Yeah. I thought
that last episode.
There's some crazy
was...
stuff there. Like, I've hated the Fish Mooney character. But
until
she did some stuff that I was just like, what? You're crazy. What did they just
her
do?
Her eyeball.
I don't understand. I don't understand what happened.
I just stared at the screen.
So coming off of like last week's where they were at the circus and everything.
Haley Circus.
Like,
does
like,
no one care?
Yeah,
circus.
No, it was exciting to see
Nightwing.
Haley Circus.
No, Nightwing.
Yes,
it
was the Flying Graysons were in town. Big Nightwing
that
fan
was,
here.
No, that was a lot of fun. That episode was bonkers, one of the worst television episodes of anything I've ever seen.
I couldn't tell you anything about it because I was like, Haley Circus, Graysons. And
yeah,
like, I couldn't tell you anything else that happened.
Go back and watch that episode. It honest to God, like, honest to God, was written by the interns at like in the Gotham's writing room. Like, it has to be. It was so bad.
Well,
and
that's been
which one?
The last one where they introduced the Joker and everything. Like, you would think they would be like, hey, here's all of our A team, and
you
we're gonna
really
work
make
really
it
hard
work.
On this. And then it's like, wait, it's what? And then it's the lady's son, like, and she's a
well,
she's
they didn't really introduce the Joker.
It was
they teased the Joker.
They teased it a little bit. I get it, but like. All the same, that was like a big deal. Like they were advertising it all week, and like all of us are just like, "Oh yeah, we've got to see this." And
they're
like, "What? You're at a circus? What? You're at a circus?"
It was very tonally all over the place.
But yeah, that episode,
like it forgot like they were doing the Fish Mooney story halfway through. Then like at the end, it felt like the editor was like, "Oh yeah, I forgot about Fish. Oh yeah, let's bring her back." Like it was just like, "What are you doing? You're a professional show."
As I was binge watching, I was also like looking up reviews at the same time. Mm-hmm. And what I found interesting was that at least the reviews I happened to look up, which was like. Ranged from Entertainment Weekly to Superhero Hype.
Yeah.
All kind of were aligned on the same side of, like, this show just isn't finding its footing quite right.
Yeah.
And I can definitely see that. Like, if I'm looking at it with, like, Flash and Arrow, and
yes,
and yes,
Flash knows
time,
what it is.
And
I'd
I'm
say
like,
more than
oh,
any other
like,
show,
they're
Flash.
They're just... you know, it's different networks, but, I mean, I just love what Flash and Arrow have been doing, and I appreciate, like, how dark Gotham is, mm-hmm. and that it is, it really is dealing with, like, a superhero world without anyone in a suit. Like,
yes.
Which
no,
is fun, and that's
no
one of the things about this episode
has done that.
So
obviously, that's not Flash and Arrow. It's younger versions or their origins and stuff, but, like, you have people in costumes.
Well, we had the Hood here, and that's funny because the Hood itself became such a character, and I really liked how they dealt with the Red Hood. I liked how they danced around the Joker thing. Mm-hmm. I liked how they kind of gave a nod to, like, you know, the Dark Knight with the whole, like, oh, we're not taking your money, we're taking the bank's money, and this whole thing. I thought that was really cool. And then, you know, you thought this one guy is possibly the Joker, and then he gets blown away.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, guess he's not the Joker.
No, exactly.
That was cool, and that was a good story, and, like, I want to see more stuff like
It was a great, episode.
Yeah.
Like, just really good. Then, I love that it was, like, You're thinking, okay, if you're a Joker fan, you understand what Red Hood means, and you're like waiting, and it's a finally crafted story, and then at the end you realize, like, oh, like, I actually didn't see the Joker.
Yes.
Maybe. I'm sure some people are going to be like, oh, that, like,
guy
at the
end,
the sweaty comedian, maybe he was the Joker.
Well, that's
that kid at the end who was really creepy and clearly a sociopath putting on the Red Hood, like, maybe he's a Joker, but, like, it wasn't stated, it was just...
Exactly.
We're going to take an element of the Joker story and put it in there and set it up.
And I know that that's
but not
something,
do anything else.
That's something that the showrunners knew that they were going to do for the whole time. So when you talk about how the show can't find its footing, that whole thing about teasing the Joker...
They're trying.
That's something that Bruno Heller had planned on doing for a while. So that's why that seems to fit. But
really
what was
well.
Up with Fish Mooney spooning her eye out? The guy gave her two options.
That was not the third option.
How
that
is that a third option?
She's like, what about the third option? I'm sorry, the sign. And then just... I don't understand that.
Can someone explain? I would like to hear your theories on why... What?
First of all,
what does fish get out of...
I want to know if there are any Fish Mooney fans. I have never met someone who's like, oh man, Fish Mooney. All about it. Like,
no,
even before the show started...
I might be... Now, after that, just because I'm like, what is, like, going on?
What is she up to?
And because she's still around. She's still around, so it's like, what is her deal? What is the point of creating this original character and keeping her in there? It's one thing if she was just there for, like, a few episodes, and then, like, she's killed her. Or just
yeah, maybe killed in a season finale or something.
But the fact that, like, they are committed to keeping her involved in the storylines, I'm like, well, I'm interested in seeing where
well,
she
Well, you
goes.
Know what the thing with that is that by... They need to have their own characters so that you don't know what their fates are. It's like you're setting up all these Batman villains, and ultimately...
Too many. I'm sorry. For me,
it's
too many. Like, it's
too many.
The first season isn't even over, and we have six or more. Because we've got, obviously, pre-Riddler.
Uh-huh.
We've got pre-Ivy. We've got pre-Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
We've got... technically, this was, like, pre-Joker.
Mm-hmm.
We've got... Actual Penguin.
Whose story is great.
And his story is so good. Clearly,
well
they're
paced.
Leading to the Dollmaker. Like, that's obviously...
Dollmaker.
That's coming. And I feel like...
Kind of like Wurstmacher.
Oh, and also we had Scarecrow.
Yes.
Seven.
Scarecrow. Oh, we had...
At least seven, unless I'm forgetting
someone. In 15 episodes?
And
how many episodes are
in? And it's the first season.
Too many. I'm sorry. Like, you just don't need that. Like, they're spending all this time finally crafting... Penguin clearly is, like, the main guy.
Some people are asking us to talk a little bit about some of the other castings. So we have this Supergirl pilot that's going on. From the people that are... From Greg Berlanti, who's behind the very popular Arrow and Flash. And I agree. I think Flash might be becoming my favorite because this Gorilla Grodd stuff is really cool.
Oh my god, the end of that last episode when, like, so you have Firestorm and Flash, like, he flies off, he's running, and I'm just like, oh, and then you have the whole Gorilla Grodd.
All right. Oh my god. That's been handled so well.
So well. But
they're killing it on the CW with
what's also being handled well is Ally McBeal as she returns to series television. So we knew that Cat Grant was going to be a character for a while because we keep hearing that Kara Zor-El and Jimmy Olsen are going to be working for, like, Grant Communications. So we knew that Cat Grant was going to be coming into it. This is great casting, I think. Calista Flockhart. Coming in, and, you know, they're really getting major talent for this. So this is a pilot.
Like, they're actually trying?
They're actually trying. It's already been ordered to series. This is, this is a big deal. I mean, like, you know, they're going for Supergirl here.
Yeah.
This is not Smallville.
And how many times have I felt like I've always heard about, like, oh, they're going to work on a Supergirl TV series, or it's going to come, and it never did. And honestly, have been like, well, I'll believe it when I see it. So I guess I have to start believing it now because, like, it really is finally going to happen.
It's happening. Yeah.
Really, really going to happen. I'm excited.
I'm actually not too familiar with the character of Cat Grant. Can you tell me a little bit about her at all?
Well, I know from my days of reading the Superman comics, she was basically a reporter, kind of like a rival to Lois Lane. And then at some point, she was more of like a TV reporter and a TV anchor.
She's been like a fashion reporter, right? Like, that's
yeah,
what
she's wearing. Wearing.
She was a romantic rival for Lois as well.
Of course.
Like, yeah. Obviously,
because you have to.
Yeah, you have to, right? He likes intelligent women. But she was a TV reporter. And so I guess now, like, she is a mogul at this point. We've moved on to the point where she's
got her own company. In
she's
this
got
movie.
Her own company.
Yeah.
And it's media communications. And that's where we're going
to find. So they're going to do, like, they're going to treat her as kind of like a Perry White kind of character, you think? Like, she's like the boss?
Perry White with better legs. That's pretty much the log line. I saw the casting breakdowns.
It could be Perry White with
like,
boobs, then.
Yeah. Perry White, they're looking
Perry
for a Perry White.
White with bad boobs.
Yes, with bat nipples and much better legs.
I don't know. Perry White's always had good, like, a good pair of legs to me.
You know, there's been limited times where we really got to see Perry
that
White in bikinis, you
that
know, because
fair.
Of the temperate climate of Metropolis. So hopefully we'll get
it's
more of that.
A little further north.
Yeah, exactly. There was also a casting thing. I didn't really pull out a picture or anything.
Aww.
There wasn't really a picture. But they're looking for a male double that is over 5'11", that is super ripped, square-jawed. And
how
like,
tall
some
are you?
People are, I'm 6'2". I could do
you
it.
You got a nice cleft chin going on.
Do you know about the super ripped part?
I don't know. You're pretty ripped.
Just go to Nerd Strong and you'll get all.
That's right. I'm going to go to Nerd Strong. I want to be Superman.
Good to go.
See, the thing is, I don't think if this is Superman, if this is Kal-El, I don't think that this is a speaking role because they were pretty much like looking for a body double.
Yeah.
But it could be like
they're
a Kryptonian. It could be just like another.
Yeah, it wasn't specified.
It was not specified.
Wouldn't it be great if it was just a total, like, let's screw with people and put this casting call
I don't even know. I don't even know what the casting thing was from, so I'm not exactly sure how that's going to go on, but yeah, it's
very. Do you think that they're going to take a page out of like Superman Returns and have like a news footage of Superman flying away?
Oh my god, that would be awesome!
And they'll be like, oh no, we have no Superman, but there's a Supergirl.
You know what? I think that's a great idea. Like, I want to see Superman acknowledged. I would love to see him acknowledged, and because we can do Elseworld, we're in the DC universe. We have, you know, infinite levels of different dimensions and cosmoses and alternate Earths. Why can't this be an Earth where, like, Superman is out the picture? Like, don't just, like, say, oh, he's not in town, because he'd be flying in town all the time to see his
cousin.
Exactly.
So, like, I think that they're going to do something.
If something's wrong, why wouldn't he be there?
He's off planet on Battleworld.
He's flying over to Marvel
just
to fight
busy with the other movie.
No, yes. Well, actually, Superman had his own Battleworld before Hulk did.
Did Hulk have a Battle World? I know he had Planet Hulk.
Planet Hulk. What was the Battle World?
No, Battle World is what Marvel's doing in May. Like, that's their big, like, that's the Marvel equivalent to DC's Convergence.
Well, look.
Is their Secret Wars.
There was a point in time where Superman, I've talked about this before, Superman had a little bit of a split personality disorder. He was getting up in the middle of the night. It's kind of like how Spider-Man used to do when he first had the black costume. And he was going out as Gangbuster. And he was beating people's asses, kind of like Batman. And then when he realized he had this problem, he had to fly off-world. And he just, like, kind of went around. He grew a big beard. He lost a shirt. And he was like, he was a gladiator for a while. He had a gladiator period. So it could be that.
Is that when he had the mullet?
No. That was pre-mullet. He did get the hair was long, but it was like beard.
So the mullet was post his return, right? I think so.
Yes, the mullet was only post death. Yeah.
Yeah.
Post-death of. Return, in fact, it was like I was in this cryo chamber growing a mullet, pretty much. He was healed within a week. It was really the time it took to grow the hair.
He just needed the time to grow the locks.
Exactly. Speaking of costumes and outfits, we finally got to see Brandon Routh appear as Adam.
Finally.
I also don't know if I have a picture. Jatorel, I don't know if you could find a picture of that. I don't think I pulled one. Did you guys see that?
I haven't watched it.
Okay, so on the
I
last
had him. I looked up.
We showed it last week. That
okay,
but I
I'm glad
I have
it
seen,
finally
I have
has
seen the picture,
happened.
Yeah. I've seen the pictures of him.
So he shows up. He's in the costume.
It doesn't.
He gets in bed with Felicity Smoke. Well, I don't know if that happened when he was in bed with Felicity Smoke or not, but afterwards he flies. He does not shrink.
But no more.
No, exactly.
He like Iron Man flies out.
He straight up Iron Man flies out. So,
but no shrink.
What do you guys think?
But no shrink.
You're still telling me he's gonna shrink? I don't know. They're making
he's
him really Iron Man-y.
Otherwise, he's just Blue Beetle.
He kind of was gonna be in the beginning. I don't know, man.
But it's like I mean, it's the beginning of his that suit,
right?
And that
honestly,
whole
right,
concept.
Look,
so it's like
he's
I'm
gonna
like,
have
all
a spinoff.
Right.
So maybe he doesn't, you know. But you know,
you
yeah.
can't. That's like the best part, maybe what he does. And they're like, well, we can't show it all in Arrow. Let's
what?
Save it for the spinoff. I don't know. I'm
what
trying to get.
Spoilers?
I'm trying to come up with reasons as to why.
Young
that's not spoilers.
That's not spoilers. He flew off. He was in his suit. I said he didn't shrink.
Do we have questions coming up?
Oh yeah,
Johnny Gober was asking a question about Batman v Superman. Do you want to save that for later?
No, throw his question out.
He was asking, is Batman v Superman going to take place in Metropolis or Gotham? And then he goes on to say, it must take place in Gotham since Metropolis was destroyed. Also, who is the main character of Batman or Superman?
Well,
this is true.
Who's the main character?
Who's the main character?
Well, I know for a fact it takes place in both. Because we've seen footage of, you know, in Metropolis, like they're repairing Metropolis, and we've seen stuff of Batman in Gotham. So it'll definitely be in both.
Well, and Lex Luthor's in Metropolis, right? Like his,
yes.
Like his headquarters would be in Metropolis.
Maybe he's
I would
making
imagine.
All the money repairing
yeah,
them.
I mean, a lot of people are supposing that, like, because these two billionaires, Bruce Wayne and Lex Luthor, are kind of helping to coordinate the repair effort. Also, a lot of people
after
are supposing.
Superman messed it up.
Right. And Lex Luthor will, and both of them actually may get some of this Kryptonian technology to do what they will with, which could lead to possible Metallo or possible Doomsday. I think now that at this point there's so many rumors, we don't know which way the main villain is going, and I think that's a good thing. I really don't want to know.
Yeah. They're
but,
covering that really well.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't seen any real pictures of Batman in costume. I mean, like, gotta think about it. They've done a pretty good job. For all the rumors
really
and supposedly script leaks, there's not a lot of photos that have been leaked.
No, there haven't.
Which I prefer.
Yeah, I prefer that too.
Let's go to a Twitter question. Also, let's see. We have Jonathan Ellison from at Johnny Rubberman. Which members of the Suicide Squad will we see in other films as villains? Well, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think about that? In other films. So this is kind of goes to what you were saying before about how this is going to be the breeding ground for the villains that we're going to see.
I don't know. I mean, Black Manta's been in Suicide Squad, I believe. I would love to see him. He's honestly one of my favorite villains. I just love that headpiece.
Yeah.
And like he's so ruthless, but has like this complicated moral code.
But I don't think
more of him.
I think the question is more like what villains from this upcoming Suicide Squad movie will
go
see another
out.
Like Deadshot,
gotcha.
Like
gotcha.
Harley. And I
gotcha.
Think I mean
okay.
yeah, I think obviously I know some people think otherwise. I think this is gonna be your precursor Joker, Harley Quinn. I think we're gonna see a lot more of them. I think Deadshot too could show up in a,
I'd love
in a
to
Batman
see more Deadshot.
Film. But you know, you make a good point. Like why what about Wonder Woman and Aquaman and Green Lantern? What about some of their foes coming out of these Suicide Squad movies too?
Maybe
yeah,
in the Aquaman
I mean, those,
movie.
Those like because that could end up feeding a future Suicide Squad movie, like a sequel. It could be like, oh, well, we're going to get the villain from Aquaman.
You have me all excited that like multiple like later on Suicide Squad movies will be like different casts. And if it's not like that, I'm going to be really mad. It's going to be really
mad.
I think that makes sense. I mean, you know,
it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, because honestly, it's like you only get to be on the Suicide Squad one time. It should be like, you know, it's like it's your Suicide Squad mission. If you make it out of that,
maybe it's like one or two that maybe keep rotating in or something.
Well, that's your Rick Flag character, and that's your Amanda Waller. Those are characters that you'll definitely see recurring. Sorry, did you have anything else you want to add to that?
No, I'm trying to think. Like, are they going to do, like, a standalone Batman film? Because that would be Joker and Harley, I would imagine.
One would hope.
One would think. Yeah.
And, like, are they ever going to bring Deathstroke into it? Has there been any, like, Slade Wilson casting?
There have been rumors that Deathstroke could be a villain in the Suicide Squad movie. And
that
I think,
would,
and he's a great villain.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites.
You know what's exciting about that villain is to see what this Zack Snyder inspired universe, because he's great at doing close up hand to hand combat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've already talked about how Batman is going to be much more of a martial artist. So I can imagine what Deathstroke is going to look like. I get giddy with excitement just thinking
about it. I can see
it.
Look at the giddiness on your face.
It's going to be awesome. Let's see. We got another one. Oh, if Bane gets reintroduced in the DC universe, this is from Tony Morrow and Anthony Morrow 86. That's good. Can you turn me? Yeah, we're missing Bane Cat here. So, if Bane gets reintroduced in the DC cinematic universe, who'd you like to see play him? I have some thoughts about this.
Tom Hardy.
What?
Is it Tom Hardy?
It's not Tom Hardy.
Not Tom Hardy.
I would like to see a small actor play him, and I would like to see him get jacked up via CGI.
Hulk-ish.
Hulkish. That's
or
what I want to see. Bane is,
Bane or Captain America ish is what I'm thinking.
Or you can go the opposite way. Yeah.
When you talked about like a small guy going bigger, yeah, big to small.
When you were the little fella.
Just pump him full of Vita Rays.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? Bane, the original Bane, which we haven't seen on screen, is one of the best villains.
Yes.
Introduced in the Nightfall. This is a character that was like raised in Peñadura. He was raised to a life in prison because of crimes his father committed.
He's brilliant.
He's got a great backstory.
And he's so dumbed down. These days, in representations, and it's
It was Tom Hardy, kind of like it was wasted on that.
He can't be like super muscular and intelligent, apparently.
So as far as who could play him, I would say Antonio Sabato Jr. Outside of that, I really don't have any other guesses.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm terrible at this casting stuff.
Enrique Iglesias, I don't know. I'm just thinking Latin American.
No.
Oh, God.
Okay, let's see.
An unknown would be nice. It'd be nice to just flat out give it to someone who is an up-and-coming actor is my favorite shtick to go to, because I hate using, like, popular names. I know you need them to sell movies, but there's so many actors out there.
Ahmed Faraz said Dave Bautista for Bane.
Oh, you know, but he's already so in the Marvel Universe. I really don't think you could do double duty like
that. He might.
I doubt it. I really don't think so. I really don't
think. But do you think he would make a good Bane?
I think he'd make a great Bane.
Yeah.
Sure, but he's so, in the Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't want to see people playing major characters in multiple universes.
What about Batman Forever?
Because Chris Sanchez was asking when Bane has been dumbed down, and do I really need to say Batman Forever?
Oh no, it's Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin.
Yeah. Very dumb. He had drawn on veins.
He has been dumbed down.
Doesn't get dumber than that.
Exceedingly.
We got one more question.
Yuritel said Rick Moranis for pre-Bane.
Yeah,
that would be great pre-Bane. Jonathan Yamarillo or Jonathan Jarmarillo at Yanni616.
All that name is awesome.
What do you think of the future of Constantine, guys? Have you watched Constantine? I like the show very much.
I haven't seen the latest episode.
I'm behind,
which is the finale.
I love it. And it was one of those shows where when I saw like the first two episodes, I'm like, oh man, this thing's going to get canceled. Because it was offbeat.
Very offbeat.
Everything about it was where I could totally be in the minds of like Hollywood, execs who have all the power and be like, they're just not going to get it. And it's not going to get the ratings it deserves, and it's going to get canceled. And so I am ecstatic that it's chugging along and hopefully still going to survive. Like, it's maybe going to another network.
I could tell you what's happening so far. What the creators of the show have basically said is that they're pitching the second season to NBC in May. NBC is going to make the decision. NBC Universal also owns Sci-Fi. Mm-hmm. There are these rumors of it possibly being rebranded as Hellblazer, which all would be great.
Yes.
I just want to see Dr. Fate.
Yeah, I know. They tease that pilot.
They tease it in the pilot.
But you know what?
I just want the show to have a shot.
Props to them for not doing what Gotham is doing and holding some cards back. Gotham is almost trying to throw everything out there and be like, look at us, we got the superheroes. And like, Constantine's like going to make
villains.
You have to work for it. And I love the show. I'd say it's up there with Flash for me for probably my two favorite shows. I don't know what you guys think. I think it's awesome. I think the actor that plays Constantine is fantastic.
He's perfect. Like,
for
literally,
it.
Like, you peeled him off of the cover and just went,
like,
there
the casting
you are.
For him was perfect.
Yeah. So guys, save Constantine,
please.
Hellblazer, do it. Let people know. The ratings have been up. The show is not done by any stretch. What is done is this episode of DC Movie News.
Thank you so much
for talking in. We follow you. What can people find you online?
At Scruffy Rebel. Yes.
At The Matt Key.
I'm at Adam Gertler. I also want to tell you, tune in to FX Movie Download. This Friday, we're doing Prometheus. It's awesome behind-the-scenes stuff. Mm. I'll see you next time on DC Movie News.
Woo! I brought it. I told people I would.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.